Whether you are sleeping in a doorway, soiling yourself, or digging through the trash for a meal.
This hot dog looks like it's only a day old.
There's nothing quite like being homeless in New York City. But now, New York wants the homeless to experience the world. That's why they've introduced Big Apple Homeless Airways.
You mean an airline? Just for me?
With daily one-way flights, Big Apple Homeless Airways helps the downtrodden go to be downtrodden someplace else. Once loaded onto one of our luxurious cargo jets, you'll experience a smell like no other. There's even a bathroom you can take a nap in.
Hey, is there a movie on this flight? Preferably something pornographic.
So get aboard New York's only airline for the impoverished, Big Apple Homeless Airways.
You're now free to be homeless around the country.
Sure, other stations promise outstanding content, but when it's time to deliver, they fall flat on their ridiculous faces. Enter LA Talk Radio, a cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk station that delivers totally original content without any commercials. Log on to LATalkRadio.com and get involved with the best talk radio station on the internet. LA Talk Radio, we say what we want.
This station presents Real American Heroes.
Real American Heroes.
Today, we salute you, Mr. Automatic Tax Extension Filer.
Mr. Automatic Tax Extension Filer.
You've known for months that tax day was coming up, but you just keep putting off filling out those forms like putting off a visit to the proctologist.
Yes, the two are similar.
It's automatic, Mr. Automatic Tax Extension Filer, which means that you don't even have to come up with a lame, albeit creative excuse.
My dog ate my W-2.
You put the pro in procrastination.
Why can't you take what you can do once a man?
So on April 15th, forget the long form, short form, or easy. Just mail off Form 4868 and breathe a six-month sigh of relief, just like Mr. Automatic Tax Extension Filer, a real American hero.
Automatic Tax Extension Filer.
Late penalty and interest will still apply.
Get ready for the best morning show on any kind of radio. Broadcasting live from the palatial studios of LA Talk Radio, get ready for Sam and Kara in the morning. Give Sam and Kara a call at 323-203-0815. And now, here are your hosts, Sam and Kara.
Welcome to April 15th. It is Tax Day 2010.
Dun, dun, dun. And they're still not done, but I'll get them done by midnight.
Oh, you haven't done them yet?
No, you know.
You're going to wait until midnight to do it?
Well, I like to live on the edge.
You obviously do. Wow.
Why so, not, you know?
Yeah. Well, I filed for extensions yesterday. So,
oh, you did? Well, there you go.
I'm good for now, I guess.
Mine's literally going to take like 2 hours. Done.
Yeah. Even less than that, probably.
Probably.
But do it before that. I mean, don't go and, you know, do it at midnight. Then you have to stand in line and everything.
Oh, no, I do it online.
Are you? Okay,
yeah. So, I mean, I've got kind of a full day today, but after I get on the radio, I'm going to go home and whoop it up.
Okay.
Whoop it up. But you know what's so good is I heard on the radio today, I was driving to the show, and I stopped by Starbucks sometimes, and I heard... bring in your own mug, your own travel mug, and get a free cup of coffee. And I was like, pulled over, got the Starbucks, looked through my card. I was like, I gotta have a mug around here. And yep, my trunk had a mug.
Really?
My trunk had a mug. I didn't know how much crust was going on in it.
Yeah,
but
there you go. Ooh.
Ew. But I had him rinse it out with hot water first. I got my free mug. I got my free coffee.
So that's for tax day, right?
Probably. Yeah. In fact, everybody that's listening, there's quite a few great things that you guys can take advantage of.
So it's not only Starbucks.
Yeah, actually, you can just Google free stuff for tax day, and mm-hmm. tons of things come up. But one of the stuff is you've got the Starbucks. Cinnabon is giving away free cupcakes, except the airports are not included.
Uh-huh.
Taco Del Mar is giving away free tacos with a coupon. I don't know where Taco Del Mar is.
Yeah, we don't even have any around here.
Dairy Queen's tax-free tax day freebies are included. So I don't know what that. I guess they're just not doing tax.
Did you ever have their cones? Their chocolate-covered cones?
Yeah, pretty
Dairy
much.
Queen?
Yeah, I like their blizzards. There's Hydra Massage is giving away a free giving away free massages with a coupon. So you do have to, I think, get the coupon online and then bring it in April 15th through April 18th. P.F. Chang's, the Chinese restaurant, is giving away customers 15% off on their No Frills, No Papers to sign tax day promotion.
Nice. I like P.F. Chang's.
Yeah, so you have 15% off. I mean, I think that's pretty good.
That's not bad, yeah.
Yeah, I'm trying to see what else is going on. Oh, McDonald's, buy one Big Mac or Quarter Pounder with cheese and get one more for just a penny.
Oh, that sounds good.
I mean, it's
bad. Except I never eat there.
I know. Subway, free cookie. Boston Market, one free meal for each one by Thursday through Sunday.
Uh-huh.
You do need to print off a coupon, but that's a free freaking meal. That's awesome.
Right. So today you can eat for free everywhere you go.
I wouldn't say that, but there are some selected places that, you know, you can. So I think it's cool.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
It kind of offsets the fact that you've got tons of pressing things to do and that today is like dun-dun-dun.
Yeah.
But you get a few free things. I like that. It's like a little holiday.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah. It's funny how people wait. You know, I mean, you have 3.5 months to do this, and people wait till the last minute to do their taxes, you know?
Well,
me included this year, you know?
There you go. Yeah.
Yeah, I've been known to procrastinate a lot lately.
Mm.
Yeah, why do anything today when you can do it tomorrow, right?
Mm. Just to let you guys know, free French fries on April 16th, which is tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Jack in the Box is giving away free French fries. In addition, some California McDonald's are giving away free fries as well.
Uh-huh.
We don't even know why they're doing it.
Yeah. Do you ever eat fast food?
Traditionally, no, actually, but when I get broke or when I get, like, busy,
mm-hmm.
I'll do Subway or sometimes I'll do, like, a value meal somewhere.
Right.
It's more if I do it, it's usually, like, a fun thing.
Right.
Like, what was it, last week when all the girls were in here?
Right.
We all went to Jack in the Box and we had the best time. We went through
really?
The drive-thru. We ordered, like, three different breakfast burritos, these croissant sandwiches with bacon, uh-huh. extra chipotle sauce. And we got another turkey chipotle sandwich. Oh, my gosh. And we just pulled over the side of the road, and we, like, hung out in the car and ate it. Like,
really?
Little starving orphan girls. It was fun. I mean, you can't eat that shit every day.
No.
But I can understand. They say a lot of obesity is in lower economic kind of classes for people.
Right, the ones that eat fast food, right?
Well, because it's cheap.
Yeah.
I mean, if you go to the grocery store and you really are trying to buy produce, let alone organic or certified organic, but you're just trying to buy produce and meat, your bill is a lot higher than if you just go and buy, you know, the pastas and, like, all the fabricated food that's not really food, you know?
Yeah.
So it's kind of sad, you know? I mean, that...
So you're saying because of the cost, people are forced to eat shitty food?
Yeah. Their choices are kind of limited.
Yeah. Well, what can I say? I mean, it makes sense.
Yeah.
You know, it does make sense. And,
yeah.
Yeah, do you believe those people that are dressed like the Statue of Liberty and they stand by the side of the road with their signs, you know? Because there's this tax preparation company. I think they're called Liberty or something. And they have people dressed as a Statue of Liberty standing by the on the sidewalks to get some attention. But, I mean...
Is it like a promo thing or just...
Yeah, it's a promotional thing, I guess, you know, for people to know they're preparing taxes. So... You have these ridiculous-looking people standing there, and, you know, I have to imagine, you know, there's got to be a better job than that, you know?
Well, I'm the weird person that would love doing something like that.
Really?
But my arm would get tired, but I'd like to, like, hang out in the outfit or something.
Really?
I love dressing up.
They don't think it's dorky.
I'm an entertainer. Like, I put clown makeup on me. I mean, not necessarily clown, but fake eyelashes and a crazy outfit. I mean, I'm just having a grand old time. Throw a boa in there. I dressed up as a Care Bear for my friend's photo shoot.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
well, a photo shoot is one thing. Standing on the sidewalk is
another.
Well,
we were outside in an alley with graffiti everywhere. That's where mm-hmm. we took the photo shoot.
Right.
And, yeah, people saw.
Yeah.
We're honking and stuff. But that's just kind of...
Yeah, annoying. But if it's a photo shoot, you understand, you know? I mean, people understand you're going to be dressed up, you know, in something weird.
Well, I got to say, I would probably do it.
Yeah.
I'd talk. I was a sign twirler for 4 hours.
Really?
I told you that. Like, I needed a job, and I kept seeing this ad for sign twirler. So I said, you know what? I'll send him an email. I sent him an email saying, look, here's the deal. If you pay me $20 an hour, I'll twirl your sign.
Mm-hmm.
Clearly, they're only trying to do it for like $10 an hour, right?
Right.
And anyway, so long story short, I can't find parking. I walk like a mile and a half to get to the place. They told me they didn't validate parking. My feet hurt, and I wore a really cute outfit. I have a sweat mustache. I don't look cute anymore. I'm a little pissed,
mm-hmm.
Okay?
Right.
I get in there. The lady's like, oh, you need us to validate your parking? I said, what? You validate parking? Oh, hell no.
Mm-hmm.
Like, heads are going to roll. So I got into the room. There's two little dudes running the operation, trying to give me the runaround that it's $10 an hour. I said, what did my email say? He goes, but you said you do it for 15. I said, that's before I found out that you validate parking, $20 an hour.
Right.
We can't swing that. We can do 15. I said, nope, 20 an hour. Hey, we can't do it. I said, listen, what are you pushing? What do you mean? What car do you drive? I drive a BMW. Well, guess what? The same company that pays your BMW lease can pay me $20 an hour.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a hot blonde. I'm not some drunk homeless dude rocking a tri-colored clown wig.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, the job's going to go down a little differently.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
People aren't just going to, like, pass you up. They're going to be, and that's what happened. I was out there for, like, 3 hours or something, and mm-hmm. people honked, people came in.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a pretty blonde, and I mean, I had a cute outfit on and everything.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, that's not, like, who I am, but I'm just saying, if you put a pretty girl out there holding a sign.
Yeah. Well, I have to salute you. I would never do something like that.
You know, there's a lot of things I thought I'd never do.
It's a little degrading.
Is it?
Yeah, I think
I don't feel
is.
Like it was. I feel like it's an honest living. It
is an honest living, but it's degrading,
yeah.
You know.
Is it degrading?
I don't know. Yeah, I think it is.
Do you lose respect
But then
for
again, you know, I mean, making money is like nothing is degrading, you know, when you're making a living.
I mean, there are some things.
Shameful, you know.
What is that noise? Oh, that's my phone. I'll just let it ring. So, no, there are some crazy things that... that I have done, that I, you know, just, there's just so much peculiar stuff out here.
Mm-hmm.
Truth be told, hopefully people aren't listening that know me, but I've done a few things that, I've been paid to be somebody's date for a business function.
Uh-huh.
It was totally nothing gross or anything, but
right.
I did that.
Uh-huh.
And, it wasn't even weird. It was kind of like, I just think the concept's weird.
Yeah.
I mean, nothing happened. I mean, it was a business transaction. I didn't have to act like I was a girlfriend. He just didn't want to go alone.
Right. So he needed companions.
He needed somebody to be
escort,
there.
Or an escort, yeah.
I guess, yeah, an escort. But, I mean, I didn't do anything. I mean,
right,
absolutely nothing at all.
Uh-huh.
And he was very nice. And I
right.
even felt bad that he was paying me. I was like, look, you know, and I took the money because it's a job. But but I said, look, you know, I've only done it once. But I said, you know, you really should just invest in people and invest in getting to know people because he works a lot. I'm like,
yeah.
You shouldn't pay to have friends.
Right.
You shouldn't pay to have a date.
It's probably the last thing you wanted to hear.
No, I told him at the end. I was building him up. I said, look, you're an attractive guy. You got a lot to offer. You just need to make time for people. Because there's something sad about buying somebody's affection or buying their time.
Right.
To just be there. Like, you should have friends that if you have an event that you need to go to, even if it's like a girlfriend that you're not dating, but somebody that you really like.
Right, like a female friend.
Like a friend. You should be able to go, hey, I have this thing. Can you come?
Uh-huh.
I mean, I have friends. I've got guy friends if I need to go somewhere.
Right.
I don't ever do it, but I'm saying
Yeah, but you're a woman. It's different.
But I'm just saying if people's priorities were more focused on relationships and not climbing the corporate ladder or making the next buck,
right.
I think people would see a happiness factor increase. I mean, I know he didn't feel good about paying me to be there. I mean, not so much financially, but I just think it's kind of like feels – and it's so funny I ran into him. Because I did this one thing with him, and he was really nice. He's a very nice guy, and you could just tell he's busy, and he's a little insecure.
Mm-hmm.
But he has, like, this really sweet smile, and just a genuine guy. And I ran into him at the Coffee Bean.
Really?
And I was like, oh, my gosh. He was like, hey. And it was kind of awkward for a second. And I was like, how's it going? I invited him to sit down, and we chatted for a little bit. And, you know, I just wanted to see how life was going, and yeah, that was it. Yeah, I mean, he was kind of...
very interesting.
It is. I mean, I've done some crazy stuff. I haven't done anything like, you know, that's...
How many hours did you have to spend there?
Three.
3 hours?
I made pretty good money, too.
Yeah, did you?
Yeah.
Wow, that's not bad.
But it's kind of one of those weird things that if you were to do it and the person's sketchy, I mean, I just kind of lucked in with, like, a really good guy.
That's
I don't think it's something I want to do.
Yeah.
I just kind of stumbled.
You've had some wacky jobs.
I'm trying to tell you. It's called living vicariously.
Yeah. Anything except a normal job, right?
No, I've had normal jobs. I mean, I've worked in retail. I've done sales. I've done I've done marketing, yeah.
Right. But not since you moved here.
No, I have. I've done quite a bit of sales here. But the thing is that I kind of started getting into it, some of the bigger sales stuff right when the recession hit, like with the home. I was in home stuff. And then the home market, you know. Yeah. The housing market went down, so that a lot of companies stopped. They just like the company I was working for got rid of their sales staff.
Right.
I've done some B2B market.
Which is stupid, you know, because that's where your money comes from.
Well,
the salespeople.
Well, it is, but they just couldn't. I mean, they couldn't afford. They couldn't afford it anymore. It was franchised, so then the corporate took it over and they got rid of sales because they couldn't afford to.
Right, but then how do they survive?
I think that they had different markets that they were focusing on for their sales, and they were just keeping this a service center.
I see.
Yeah, but no, I've done stuff like that, and a few other things too.
Yeah.
You know. Temp work, but it seems like getting a steady gig out here is really, really difficult. In addition to that,
well, it depends where you're looking, you know.
Well, yeah, but I mean, I think you know, doing sales and marketing things like that. I mean, a lot of people are losing their jobs. I'm not making it up. Like, yeah, this new job that I'm working at, which is front desk. I mean, that's totally normal, you know. A couple people just got hired, and one of the girls was, head of marketing for this company in Westwood, and they just cut everybody.
Yeah.
And so she's working with me, and we're both kind of like, okay, cool. But
wow,
it's
pretty sad. Shit.
Well, I worked at a burger joint, and one of the guys flipping burgers has his own business.
Yeah.
He drives every day in a Lexus.
Really.
And he's just trying to make ends meet.
So obviously his business is not doing very well.
No, I mean, that's the thing. He's supplementing his income, you know, working at night and then doing his business. And so, I mean. It's not everybody that's in that position, but it's, you know, if you are in the job market right now, I mean, I have friends that are on the really professional end of things that have been out of work for a year.
Yeah.
So it's just, but there's something interesting about it because, you know, wherever you go, you find people that are in the same position that they're really having to humble themselves and kind of just take whatever work they can get.
Yeah, yeah. But you got to be, I think, more active than that. You know, you have to go after the jobs, especially at a time like this, you know, because there's so much competition for all these jobs. So you got to be out there making yourself known, you know.
Yeah, but I mean, that's what people are doing.
Right.
I mean, that's what people are doing. They're picking up work that they can get.
Right.
They're looking for the career job at the same time. Mm. I mean, you got to pay the bills while you're looking for work. Some people can't. Some people have savings or they're like been on unemployment for over a year, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I mean, I think that there's something to be said for people who are like, "What? I'll work however, whenever to do it."
Yeah.
And you know, unless you've really walked a mile in their shoes, which I mean, I know people that just aren't in the job market right now.
Right.
So they don't understand the situation. But if you're really having to go back into the... And it doesn't even really matter what field. I mean, there are specific fields that aren't as affected. But I know people that are, you know, just looking for the day job. I know people that are looking for the professional next career job.
Right.
And everybody's in the same boat.
Yeah.
You know? And so, you know, you still have to take something that you wouldn't necessarily want, not as a long term, but, you know, while you're looking for the next thing.
Yeah.
And there's no shame in that.
No, of course not. I mean, you know, when you're trying to make a living, nothing's shameful, you know.
Yeah.
And I just said I would be embarrassed to stand on the sidewalk with dressed like a fucking Statue of Liberty.
Not me. I'd have fun.
Yeah. So check this out. I guess there was a volcano eruption in Iceland. And what happened is it created a cloud of volcanic ash all over Europe. So they've had to actually close airspace in many countries in Europe right now. So there's no airplanes flying there. I'll bet you there's so many delays and cancellations and stuff, people flying to Europe, that it would be depressing if I had to go there right now.
That's crazy, man. I just feel like this Earth is starting to get, it's getting a little menopausal.
Yeah.
It's getting hot flashes. It's getting a little shifty on us.
Yeah.
I think the Earth might be a little pissed.
I think it's always been around.
Oh, it has, but I mean, more so? Wouldn't you agree that it's more so?
No, I don't think it's more so. Not at all. Not at all.
Daily, massive earthquakes almost daily?
Well, I think that's been around for years, you know?
We've lived here, how long have you been in L.A.?
34 years.
And you're telling me 34 years, you've been through every year, like, huge earthquakes.
Not every year, but occasionally they happen. They're not a yearly occurrence, mm-hmm. you know, but we've had floods here one time. We've had fires. We've had a lot of different things here. Riots.
Well, that's true.
Not a natural disaster, but it sure felt like it at the time. Do you remember that whole thing with the riots here?
Oh, I wasn't here for that
Rodney
thing.
King, you know? There was this man pulled over by the cops, and they beat him up, you know? There was a video of it.
No, I know about Rodney King, but right. I wasn't here for the riots.
Yeah, so there were riots when the cops were, they were cleared of any charges in court. So a lot of black people rioted in the city. And it was pretty scary. I mean, some stores were looted and caught on fire and shit. You know, I mean, it was pretty scary for a couple of days here.
That's a good way to show your cause, right?
Yeah.
Vandalize yeah. other people's hardworking businesses.
Right.
That's great.
Yeah.
I mean, I say protest.
But that's what riots are, you know. There's no, like, right or wrong there. People just do whatever the hell they want, you
it's
know.
It's called, like, living like an animal.
Yeah, it is. It is. And the city got out of control for a little bit here.
You know, were you guys affected by it, or?
Here in the valley, it wasn't as bad, you know. But as you get closer to downtown, south mm-hmm. central, yeah, it was pretty bad.
It's not cool, man.
No. And I remember that video where they pulled out this guy who was just driving by, you know, happened to be passing by there in a truck, and they pulled him out and started beating the shit out of him, you know?
I think I did see that.
Yeah.
That's just evil.
Yeah.
It's chaos. There's no reason for it.
No.
There's no... What's
I mean,
the...
can you imagine how scared... I mean, wouldn't you be scared if you were stuck there and all these angry black people coming at you?
Yeah, yeah. Or angry anybody people. Yeah. I would be like, okay, you know?
Yeah.
Anger anybody trying to pull me out of a car and slap me and fucking kill me and stuff. I don't...
Yeah, that would be pretty scary stuff.
It's weird because it's like these aren't even the people that have... These aren't even the people that wronged...
Right, yeah. It's just an innocent bystander. You
yeah.
know? Yeah.
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 Rodney King,
it.
Is it?
Yeah, Rodney King.
Yeah. These are just people that are living life, business owners, people that are just working.
Yeah.
And you go after them.
Yeah.
That doesn't make any sense.
Well, you know, I mean, people, that's what I'm saying. I mean, there's no reason to riots. I mean, it just happens. There's no leader or anything. It just, you know, people go crazy. They lose their minds.
Mm.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's just like, that's why I don't think that, I think that humans aren't just animals. I think that's why, you know, I think that we're part biological and we're part spiritual, so.
Yeah.
Trying to find reasons of why the earthquakes have just become so rampant. But I don't know. There's so many different theories on it.
Yeah.
You know, there's mm-hmm. so many. It's hard to get a straight answer on it.
Well, yeah. I mean, every once in a while, this shit happens. You know, I mean, I'm sure every year when you look, it's not an earthquake necessarily in California, but there's earthquakes.
No, you're right. I mean, I've heard different theories on it.
It's just that sometimes it hits cities, you know, and, mm-hmm. and that's what happens. But many times those earthquakes are happening that we don't even feel.
Well, that's true, but I think that they are saying this last decade has had the most since a while actually.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I don't know. I mean, there's many different you know theories as to why. So yeah, I don't really have a straight answer. If I find one, I'll let you guys know.
Okay. Let's take a short break. After that, we should have our guest calling us. So stay with us. We'll be back right after this.
For the most entertaining talk anywhere, stay tuned to LA Talk Radio. Your real time station. 24 hours of commercial-free programming.
We'll be right back. Lines are open on Sam and Karen in the morning. Pick up your phone and jump in on the conversation. Dial 323-203-0815. That's 323-203-0815 and get in on the fun. Now, let's get back to Sam and Karen in the morning on LA Talk Radio.
So Melissa Etheridge has broken up with her wife.
What?
Yes. You know they were married, right? And her partner took on her last name, so I figured she must be considered her wife. So they ended their relationship. They were together for 9 years. Melissa Etheridge is 48, and this chick was 35 years old. I mean, she sure scored here, huh?
So she, how old was Melissa? She was 48?
She's 48 now, yeah.
And her wife was how old?
35.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they had children in 2006.
Did they adopt or have biological? Like artificial insemination?
Yeah, yeah. They give birth. Yeah, so you see, it was the wife that gave the birth, so that's why, you know, yeah. She looks more feminine, you know, so
she's
probably the wife, yeah. That's so weird, you know, these relationships.
Mm.
When you try to figure out who's the male, who's the female.
I don't understand. I try not to because I feel like if I try to understand, it offends same-sex, you know, relationships.
Well, why would it offend it? I mean,
I don't know, because
I've
got close friends that are gay, and I'll ask questions like, well, who's the guy, who's the girl? Or, you know, I'm just relating it to what I know.
Right.
And they're going to be like, sometimes they're cool with it, and sometimes they're like, they're frustrated because everything's coming from a heterosexual perspective,
mm-hmm.
and they're tired of having to kind of, you know, it exhausts them, you know what I mean?
To explain?
Yeah, well, they're just tired of, you know, well, it doesn't work that way, or it's not really like that, and I'm like, okay, well, I'm sorry.
Yeah, here we go. Here comes a call.
Okay.
Okay. Good morning. You're on the air with Sam and Kira. Go ahead.
Oh, it's Elise from Newman. I was calling to set up the call for your next guest.
Go ahead, Elise. You can put them through.
Okay.
Thank you. Okay, so we're going to be talking to Therese Borchard, and she wrote the book, The Pocket Therapist.
I like it.
Yeah, I mean, that sounded pretty mm-hmm. interesting, so I thought I would check it out. And it's a small book, and, you know, she calls it like the Cliff Notes of therapy. So it's pretty cool. An emotional survival kit. There we go. Therese?
Yes.
Yes, good morning, Therese.
Hi, is it Sam?
Yes, it's Sam and Kara speaking to you from L.A.
Hello.
How are you doing this morning?
Good, good. It's afternoon.
Oh, it is afternoon. Where are you calling us from?
From Annapolis, Maryland.
Oh, I see. Okay, yeah, so it is afternoon there. Well, thank you for taking the time to speak to us. And Sure. So you wrote the book, The Pocket Therapist, An Emotional Survival Kit. Tell us a little bit about the book. I started reading it and enjoyed it very much. It's an easy format to read and short chapters. How did this book come about?
The book came about because, you know, as you go through the self-help aisle, there aren't that many psychology books that are not painful to read.
Yeah.
You know, or that are entertaining and that you chuckle here and there, and I thought that it's time that we have one.
Right.
So I went to my garage, and in my garage is the Ark of the Covenant, which is a bin holding 12 journals of 12 years of therapy, a binder full of sheets of 21 years of support group meetings, and another folder of sheets from my psych unit program.
I see. Okay.
And I combined it all and took out the best tools, techniques that have helped me. And then I asked people on a few different websites that I write for what was the best tool or technique of their therapy. And I plucked those and combined it all to be a sort of Cliff Notes or a sanity file so that I don't have to run into the garage and grab out another piece from my Ark of the Covenant every time I get anxious.
Right. So these were all journals that you wrote from to reflect your therapy over the years?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
I've collected, you know, I'm a little bit obsessive compulsive, so I take good notes of all my therapy.
Uh-huh.
And I've been in therapy for 12 or 14 years, so I have a lot of notes.
Right.
And I just thought that it would be helpful for me to have a Cliff Notes, what kind of emotional, you know, survival kit or a sanity file, and that other people, I know that, you know, other people's problems are they're specific, but in a way, all problems are universal too.
Right.
So I thought that they would benefit from that because I've been there, done that, and sometimes it helps just to know that some other person out there has.
Right. Mm. So this is based mostly on your experience, not as much on research. And so, you know, I would imagine, though, that, you know, some people would feel, well, you can't put everything in a little book in Cliff Notes. But at the same time, I think for I don't think you're aiming this at people that are severely ill, but rather at people that have problems with depression, anxiety, you know, mood
well,
disorders.
Well, I think both can read it. I it's not to replace therapy. My publisher had me get an approved psychiatrist to write the foreword. Ron, he uses
that's funny.
Forward,
she's like, we're not saying get off the meds. We're just saying, you know, this is supplemental. Yeah. It's kind of a little bit more like your quick book, your little black book to bring around, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's not right to replace the therapy, to replace the inpatient psych units. It's just to let people know that they're not alone, mm-hmm. and that some of the techniques or the sound bites that I've learned through the years to help me when I, you know, run into somebody who I feel like, you know, doesn't
right.
understand me, that can, you know, to that helps me.
Right. And, you know, I mean, I can see where it would help, you know, when I know when I would get depressed and stuff, it's like you don't really want to do anything, and you're just saying, you know, show up, just do it. You know, things like this that I guess a therapist would advise you to do.
I did give the book to a lot of therapist friends, and they approved it. They know they liked it too, because it is what a lot of them say to their patients, and you know, some of it again is universal. Just like as the example that you just gave, just
right.
show up, you know,
right.
or you know, start as small as taking a shower. Just simple imperatives that might boost somebody into health, into recovery. When you have a mood disorder like I do, I'm going to be dealing with this my entire life. And so it helps to have these sort of helpful pieces of information that I can remember, that I can call on when I run up against a frustration or a relapse or so forth.
Yeah.
And I thought that people would be helped to know that some of the distorted thinking and the bizarre thought patterns aren't always unique, that I have them too.
Right, right. So you've had to battle with depression and anxiety, I guess, based on your bio here. And I found this fascinating, that you had to endure 23 med combinations, 7 psychiatrists, and 2 psych ward hospitalization. Wow. I mean,
I had a full-fledged nervous breakdown.
Wow.
After my kids were born. I think is, you know, it was sort of a perfect storm of symptoms, because there was sleep deprivation, there was the hormonal
wow.
changes, there was, I also developed a pituitary tumor,
and
so there were a lot of things contributing to that, and I worked with a couple psychiatrists that were not right, that totally over-medicated me, and it was very dangerous. And
wow.
So then I went to the other side of the spectrum and did everything holistically and alternative therapy, and that wasn't the answer for me too, because I do have a mood disorder that needed to be treated.
Right.
So finally I found a wonderful doctor at Johns Hopkins who's very conservative with meds and really encourages me to use all the other parts of my program, like, you know, exercising, lights, the light lamp, tracking my mood, doing cognitive behavioral therapy.
I'm sorry to cut you off. I just wanted to add, my heart really goes out to women. I have a really close friend who she just had a baby, and it seems like everything you're saying, not everything, but a lot of the symptoms, and she's struggled so much with, which is sleep deprivation. Mm-hmm. And then kind of like all like spirals. I mean, I guess if we knew how much they don't sleep,
right,
and then we were asked to have to take care of a kid like that or do the daily functions of just a normal adult on the lack of sleep that they have, I think most people would go freaking crazy.
Yeah, it's very difficult.
Yeah, it is. Isn't it Chinese torture or something? The form of torture.
Sleep deprivation.
Yeah, the sleep deprivation is huge. I think the book would really benefit from a lot of mothers because I think most moms are depressed.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I think you are. I think you're dead on. I mean, my friend, I mean, she loves being a mom. She loves her kid. It's not a reflection of that, but it's one of these things. You know, her eyes are bloodshot. She's just like tired.
Yeah.
My heart, I just feel like it's like the unsung heroes, you know, women that just have to do it, just got to do it. And it's rough. I mean,
well, it isn't really talked about. I mean, no woman told me before I had my son that it would be 5 years that I would only sleep 3 hours at a time.
5 years, my God. Wow. Wow.
So
yeah, that would get anybody depressed and anxious, you know. I said that would make anybody depressed and anxious, you know. I mean,
oh, it's not hospitalized anyone. I have done research on it, and that kind of sleep deprivation causes mood disorders, causes mental illness.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Obviously, a lot of the oldsters are depressed, too.
Mm.
Yeah, and then you've been through a lot of medication. What are some of the meds you were on?
Well, you know, everybody is different, so I don't want to say what's good and what's bad, but
right,
for me, the antipsychotics, the newer antipsychotics, were really harmful because I do have bipolar disorder, but mine was kind of a subtle kind of bipolar where I'm not psychotic or anything like that. I just really have ups and downs. And,
right.
One psychiatrist, I think, was really keen on using these newer antipsychotics because they make more money and so forth. I think a lot of psychiatrists are really plugged into the pharma companies. And that's sort of dangerous.
Wow.
I think, you know, my doctor now is part of Teaching Hospital, Johns Hopkins, and I think if you have somebody who's not getting well, that they really should see a doctor from this teaching hospital because they're less likely to take a lot of the newer medications and give them samples to the patients. Not to say that some of them might work beautifully on other people, but I was so sensitive that those newer antipsychotics made me worse.
Mm.
Really? Wow. That's terrible. So, I mean, obviously, by now you found something that works for you, a combination. And I know with bipolar, it's not like one or two meds. Sometimes it's a big combination, like you mentioned here, to just get you stabilized.
It is. It's lithium. I'm on lithium, which has been around forever. It was one of the oldest drugs to treat bipolar disorder. And I think it's got great studies, you know, supporting it, but it doesn't make any money. You
right.
know what I mean?
I see.
The psychiatrists who give you lithium don't make any money from it.
Mm.
So that's, I think, why it's not used so much today. And then I use an older tricyclic. A lot of people say that those have more side effects. Yeah, they probably do, but for me, they've been more effective.
Right.
And again, there's sort of a resistance to use those older drugs because they're not as lucrative.
Mm-hmm. Right. And I was just reading yesterday that some of the new drugs people are saying now may be associated with suicide. Although I remember this happened when Prozac was out or first came out. But the thing is, it's hard to figure out because, you know, people that are taking
these...
That is silly, yeah.
Hard to figure out. Because also, once a person is on medication, just like April and May are the biggest months of suicide, you wouldn't think it because it's such a pretty spring.
Right.
But they have the energy now to kill themselves, and that's what happens when
people
get
on medication.
Are you serious?
Wow. I've got a twisted sense of humor.
Finally able, they have the energy to... What's that?
I'm sorry, I got a twisted sense of humor.
Yeah.
But I'm sitting here going... They could barely hold on by a thread, and now they're like, man, feels great. This is a good day to go. I'm just feeling awesome. I did my push-ups.
Yeah.
I had a power breakfast. Give me the gun. Let's knock this out of the park. That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's really funny and weird, but you know what I mean? Because it's like, I feel like just turn... never mind. I'm not going to go down that point. But
there's
probably a lot of easy ways to do it, you know.
Yeah, but that's the thing is that there's nothing funny about suicidal thoughts and actually acting on it, and you know, I think a lot of people go untreated, and it's a very sad situation for many people. Whoops. You still there?
Yeah, was that me?
I think so. Yeah, it wasn't an RN, but whatever, you know. At any rate,
I didn't like what you were saying.
I thought she's like, deep done, stupid, bored.
Let's not talk about suicide.
Yeah, there you go. But I think the book is definitely something that encourages. I think it helps you think a little bit about things you wouldn't normally think about when you're depressed. And the book, of course, is The Pocket Therapist, an Emotional Survival Kit. And Therese Borchardt, thank you so much. I understand you have a blog as well where you started all this?
Yeah, I do. It's called Beyond Blue. Notice a theme.
Beyond Blue, yes.
BeliefNet.com. It's BeliefNet.com/Beyond Blue.
Okay, BeliefNet.com/Beyond Blue. And, of course, the book is available everywhere. Therese, thank you so much. Congratulations on the book.
Thanks for sharing. We really appreciate it. I'm going to pass your book along.
Yes, and thank you for taking the time to speak with us this morning.
Thank you so much.
Okay, take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
So anyway, that's pretty interesting. And I like fun people. You know, sometimes they're just too straight.
Too straight?
And, yeah. But you see, that's, you know, my theory is people that do have mood disorders and stuff tend to be creative people, you know? I mean, when you think about it, many creative people, whether they were artists, like painters, writers, took their own lives. I mean, didn't Mark Twain kill himself? I don't know if it was him or whatever, but Van Gogh, you know?
Mm.
Yeah, so, you know, there's been people that are just nuts, you know? And because of it, I think you have to be very emotional to be an artist, and thus you're more in touch with your feelings.
Yeah.
And it's easier to get depressed, I think.
You know, I'm not against medication as a whole. Or, you know, I definitely think there's a place for it. I do think our society's over-medicated.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of feel like a lot of, and she even talked a little bit about it, like some of the other, like she says, her doctor that does give her medication tells her to kind of definitely use all the other skills and tools as well, like exercise, light. And I mean, when you're sleep deprived, it can drive anybody crazy. And also, I think a lot of things that can keep us kind of sane are things that go.
Mm-hmm.
And that on top, like, you need to exercise.
Right.
Your body's made to, you've got to get that heart rate up, and endorphins and serotonin in your brain go off when you exercise, and it makes you feel good, it makes you excited, and it's addictive.
Right.
In a sense, in a good
addiction.
And
that makes sense, you know, but when someone's really depressed and down in the dumps, you know, I don't think they want to think about exercise.
Well, of course they don't, but I mean, there's a lot of things you don't want to do that you need to do, and I'm not saying that you shouldn't take medication ever, because sometimes the person is in such a paralyzed state or immobile that they need assistance to just get up, to just do those things.
Exactly, you know.
But I also have seen it to where people just take the pill, and they're not really taking care of the other end of things.
Right. No, I mean, they're saying the best results are medication and therapy, and, you know, because either one by itself does not do as well as when you have both. So, you know, but I definitely agree that some people do need the meds. You know,
absolutely.
They become very desperate.
Look, I've got friends that are way over medicated, and they need to just get over themselves, and they need to get out there, and they need to hang out with people.
Right.
And I've got some friends that should be medicated up.
Right. Yeah.
And that's just my unprofessional opinion.
Yeah, but it's difficult to judge people because, you know, I mean, if you haven't been in their shoes,
you don't know what I've been through. I know what I've been through, and I know some of the dark places that I've hit, and I know what despair looks like.
Right.
I mean, it may be different for everybody else, but I've been to the dark places where, you know, I don't have an answer and I don't want to do it anymore, and it's more than just a bad day.
Right.
It's been seasons.
Right, but we're talking about people that have a chronic case of this, you know, where it's chemical imbalance or something.
And I think that there are situations where people, they need it.
Yeah.
And it can be beneficial. I'm not saying take it off as not an option.
Right.
But I mean, living in LA and living in the US, I mean, it's one of the most over-medicated societies, and people are looking for problems to bitch about. I've just, like, when people are always wallowing in themselves, I mean, sometimes it's called luxury to sit around and think about all your problems. It's luxurious. If you go to another country or other places where people are like, how are we going to eat today? Boom. They're not sitting around, you know, stressing about the real meaning of who they are every 2 seconds.
Right.
You know?
But we have that privilege to do that.
I know,
you
know? But I think it's not a good thing. I'm saying it's funny that we have such luxury, and yet we're sitting around inventing shit to bitch about. And
yeah,
I'm not saying that's,
you know,
every person, of course. I mean, my heart goes out to people that they suffer in this area. And I mean, it's not like a black and white situation. I'm only getting passionate about the extreme of it, mm-hmm. which is... I'm not even lying to you, Sam. I have friends that I you know, had throughout my whole time growing up, being out here, and different friends where I knew a couple girls that, I mean, every week they had a new thing that they were, you know,
yeah.
that they had an issue with.
Right.
And they're always, it's always, it becomes narcissism because you're always kind of trying to diagnose yourself, and you're going back to therapy, and you're trying to get more medication, and you're trying to figure it out. And not that they don't have any problems, but you start to go, really, is it this freaking hard?
Yeah. It's not, you know, that's what I'm saying. It's not about despair sometimes because of things that happen to you. We're talking about something that's like built in. It's physical. It's chemical.
Well, look, that I understand. That part,
okay,
I get.
Okay, so that's... So we agree on that.
Yeah, but I'm saying a lot of people try using that, and I don't think it's their issue.
Right.
And I think sometimes the chemical imbalances come because of behavioral and environmental. Mm-hmm. And so for some people, if they just were to go and volunteer, and a lot of psychology says that, when you're depressed, go and volunteer and pour into someone else's life.
Mm-hmm.
And actually doing something outside of yourself that's not about you gives you life.
Right.
And a lot of people, we live in a narcissistic society, and we have the most depressed people. I think that says something. That's all I'm saying.
All right. Well, we're going to take a short break. We'll be back right after this.
Hello, this is Borat again. When I am traveling around the world and have internet connections, I like to gently cup up my balls and listen to LA Top Radio. It's very nice.
He tried to tell her, and she thought it right. Hand in hand, they marched on through the night. He knew the answers she'd hoped to find. It'll just take a little time, just a little bit of time. It wasn't easy, but how could they fail? Though love can blind you just like a veil, he knew the price was worth the strain. There was so very much to gain, so much love was there to gain. And they flew so high that they lifted up the ground. circumstances made them stay. Much too late to break away. Oh, they flew so high, they lifted off the ground, and they loved themselves away in the magic they had found. Every day they tried to make paradise their aim. In the end, there's nobody to blame. No, there's never anyone to blame. Though they flew so high, they lifted off the ground, they loved themselves away in the magic they.
So did you hear that biography on Oprah came out?
I did.
Yeah, by Kitty Kelly. I guess she's a more or less a reputable biographer.
Oh, is she?
Yeah, so she.
When they do
something.
That, do they have to get approved or what?
No, not really. It's not an authorized biography.
Because, I mean, like, isn't that kind of pretentious to think you can write somebody's life?
Well, not really, because, I mean, you go based on, you interview friends and people that did business with her and people that know her. I mean, when you read a book like this, you realize it's not from her point of view, but or Oprah's point of view, but rather than people that are looking at her from the outside, you know. Mm. So I don't think you pretend to define the person here, but pretty much to see what they're like, you know.
Mm.
So, I don't know. I mean, it sounds kind of interesting simply because I'm fascinated with how successful Oprah is and the kind of influence she has over her viewers.
Mm.
It's amazing. It's just amazing.
She is. I think the thing with Oprah is that she's so accessible.
Mm-hmm.
She's the everyday woman, like, relating to everybody. And even though she's wealthy and could, you know, she's, you know, I could have her own bank.
Yeah.
She's just so, you know, she's cool. I really like her. I don't agree with everything with her, though, but
mm-hmm.
she's really cool.
Yeah, so you do like her.
I mean, who doesn't like Oprah? I mean, I don't mm-hmm. think she's God. I don't agree with, you know, everything. I think that, yeah, I mean, there's politically, there's some things I don't agree with her, whatever. And then there's also some stuff with her spiritually that I don't agree with.
Does she get into politics on her show?
No, just her endorsing Obama and the mm-hmm. way she did it and kind
right.
of like her quote. I'm not going to quote her, but along the line, she said, I just knew that she quotes a scripture in the Bible that says he who basically, you know, he who loves his life will lose it. And that he who loves his life will lose it. And he who loses his life will save it.
Mm-hmm.
And she kind of used a scripture like that to talk about her need internally to step up and endorse Obama. Now, I respect the fact that she has a desire and believes in him and politically. I mean, that's just a difference there. But I kind of felt like she stepped up in a time when he was already kind of very popular and he was already gaining momentum. And then she kind of stepped out and was like, hey, and I'm Oprah and I'm endorsing him. And she made it look like there was this huge risk that she was taking
mm-hmm.
to endorse him. And I was like, I'm not relating to what you're saying at all.
Yeah.
It's one thing to go, look, I mean, I this is a guy that I think is great and he should be president and you're campaigning for him, but kind of doing it. I think it was at his win she mm-hmm. stepped up, or right before. It was like on the election day, and it was like right before he was already ahead.
Mm-hmm.
He was already ahead. I mean, he didn't win by a lot, but he won.
Right.
And he was already ahead. And she stepped up. She's like, yeah, I totally endorse him. And she got on TV and everything.
Right. And I'm sure she influenced a lot of people to vote for him.
Yeah, oh, yeah, I'm sure. Certainly. I don't really know if she can. I don't know if she can take full credit for that. But cause
not
she
full
didn't,
credit.
She
but
stepped
I'm sure
up
she
and
helped.
She stepped up and made this comment when he was being elected.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, on campaign day, you mm-hmm. know, on election day. Mm-hmm. And he was already in the running. Like, he was already ahead.
Right.
And she stepped up and
helped out.
After he was already winning, though. Do you see what I'm saying?
And no,
she made
I do.
And she also made it sound like this was this huge sacrifice to her, and she just had to do it. I just felt like there was so much drama around it. Like, endorse somebody that you believe in. You know, so it should be about the message and not the messenger, is what I think.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's not about you. Shut up. Just sit down. Tell us what you like, mm-hmm. what you don't like.
Yeah.
But I love her. Who doesn't love Oprah?
I don't.
You don't love her?
No.
Why?
Why would I?
I mean, do you ever watch her show?
She doesn't
ever?
Do anything for me, you know?
Really?
Yeah.
Is it just because it's? I mean, I never really watched the show that much, but what I've seen, I mean, her shows are really engaging and they're very. I feel like she talks about great topics.
No, I mean, I have a lot of respect for her. Uh-huh. I just don't find her very interesting to me, you know.
Oh, really?
But I respect her for the fact that she's risen from a terrible childhood.
Yeah.
Abusive and. You know, she's become this big thing, probably one of the most powerful women in the country.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, she, I think that there's, like, who wouldn't really like her, though? I mean, mm-hmm. even if you're, I mean, even you like her. I mean, you just don't watch her show, pretty much.
No, I don't know that I like her.
You're like, you know? I respect her. I see that she's done this.
But, you know, I mean, yeah, it's like meaningless to me, you know. But again, I mean, I totally respect and admire what she does,
mm-hmm.
you know, what she's accomplished.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot of influence
to have. She's a pretty profound woman.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's funny because just like anybody that gets a lot of exposure and a lot of followers, I mean, it starts to become kind of cult-like, and I don't like that part of it.
Right.
Even Kathy Griffin did some, you know, Kathy Griffin does... basically all celebrity jokes and bashing, and she's hysterical, and she's like talking about, she's like making Oprah jokes and the audience gets quiet. She's like, you guys, she's like, do you see, everybody's afraid of Oprah, you're afraid like she's God, you're afraid. And she was
yeah, I bet some people are afraid of her, who knows.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, the kind of influence she has.
Well, that makes sense.
Yeah,
it makes sense. So the Twilight series, the book,
yes, uh-huh.
the books, they're getting some flack. They have had flack for a while. Her name is Stephanie Meyer. She's the hottest author for the young people since J.K. Rowling. And she's the multi-million selling Twilight series. And it was ranked number 5 on the annual report of challenged books.
Mm-hmm.
So that was released Wednesday by the American Library Association. Basically, Meyer's stories of vampires and teen romance have been criticized for sexual content. A Library Association official also thinks that the Twilight series reflects general unease about supernatural stories. That's interesting. Vampire novels have been targeted for years, and the Twilight books are so immensely popular that a lot of the concerns people have had about vampires are focused on their books. Anyway, it kind of goes on, and you can find the whole, it's all on Yahoo. But I've actually listened to some debates about the books and how, you know, the sexual content and everything. I don't know. I think that I'm looking at it through the lens of somebody in their 20s mm-hmm. that looks at it and goes, come on, guys. It's fiction. It's fantasy.
Right.
Enjoy life. Mm-hmm. Right? Just get lost in it and just enjoy it. And then part of me goes, wait a minute. These are the target audience for this is generally, you know, preteens and teens.
Mm-hmm.
And when I start looking at it from that perspective, it does kind of change the way I look at the book.
Mm.
And not that I'm a huge fan. I've never read the books, but just even the movies. There is an erotic tone to it.
Right. Usually to vampires. I don't know what that is.
Yeah.
Or why that is.
I mean, again, I'm kind of in that weird line of like, you know, you can't shelter kids. You can't really act like it doesn't exist.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, do you endorse it and make it into something that it's not and feed these kids this concept of, you know, sexualizing them too young? And
right,
I kind of wonder.
But, I think kids, even teenagers, are smart enough to understand this is fiction, you know?
Well, there's it is no fiction, but there's, we're not. I don't think that the kids are believing that this is real. It's mm-hmm. not about that. It's
right.
that this is a huge, these are huge series books that this is how kids are kind of learning.
Mm-hmm.
And in a way, when you're constantly putting a certain spin on sexuality and kind of and it's being fed, like your target audience isn't mm-hmm. like somebody in their 20s that's like, okay, whatever. It's somebody in their, you know, 12, 13 year olds up to, you know, 14, 15, 16 that are the primary audience. And you're kind of putting this romanticized idea of sexuality and eroticism mm-hmm. and it's subversive, you know, it's not overt, but it's throughout the book. And you kind of look at it and going, I think it can kind of get kids maybe possibly. I mean, I don't ever believe in blaming the book. Don't get me wrong. Right. I think that's a cheap answer. Mm-hmm. But I do believe that what you allow your kids to kind of be fueled with and what they how they're learning about it at that age. And is it appropriate? Is it the right tools? And, or, you know, because I think, well, if I have kids, because, you know, I don't have kids. But I thought I don't want to shelter them where they can't, you know what's out there. I just want to be able to be there and kind of counteract what they're learning mm-hmm. in a sense of put it in the right context and go, well, this is this. Mm-hmm. This is for this. This isn't the reality of it. This is the reality of it. Mm-hmm. And kind of giving them those tools, you know, to empower them.
Yeah.
But I kind of do understand this concept of, you know, it's just very rampant. And mm-hmm. I start to get offended as an adult when the youth becomes, like, we idolize youth and mm-hmm. the adult world. And I've heard Roseanne Barr actually say this. She's like, it's the 30s, it's like the 30, 40s plus group mm-hmm. of adults that are siphoning the youth. Like, they want the sexuality, they want the freedom and the fun and the glamour, and they glamorize it. And you have all these TV shows and all these things that basically idolize youth and make it into this crazy, trashy soap operas. And it's for the enjoyment of other people that want to live through that. And but what it's doing is it's kind of like extracting all of this stuff prematurely, and it's toxic. It's just toxic. And it's like, I don't know if you're up on some of these shows like Gossip Girl and stuff, which
not at all.
Well, it's yeah. well, you're not missing
Me and
out.
TV is like water and oil.
Okay. Yeah, you like to read books.
Very well.
You like to read books.
I do. I just finished Jackie Collins.
Was it good?
Yeah, man. That was good.
Look
that
at you guys. I wish you could see CCM's face. He's just like beaming. He's like, oh, man.
I can't believe I'm into that trashy stuff, man. But
yeah.
I like it, you know. At the same time, I'm reading other books, you know. One on the son of one of the founders of Hamas.
Oh, really?
And, yeah, who turned into Christianity.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, very interesting. So I'm going to be reporting on that.
Please do.
This guy sort of like grew up in this environment mm-hmm. of violence and realized that's not for him, you know. And it's not just anybody, you know. I mean, his dad was a founder of Hamas, you know.
You know what? Ignorant white girl, Hamas again.
Hamas, they're the terrorist group in Palestine, okay?
Does he have like a bounty on his head for writing this book?
Probably.
He's got a... No, I'm serious. He probably can't go back to his country, huh?
I don't know what's going on. But when I read about it, I'll report. I just got the book.
So his father was the founder of Hamas.
Not the, but one of them.
One of the founders of Hamas.
Right, right.
And that's the terrorist group in what country?
In Palestine, okay?
Okay.
The Palestinians. Whatever. I mean, there's no such place as Palestine, but that's what they call it, where mm-hmm. the Palestinians live. So they're responsible for attacks on Israelis and mm-hmm. Jews everywhere. You know, so that's their objective, is to annihilate Israel pretty much, and that's been the theme in the Middle East for who knows how many years,
mm-hmm.
hundreds of years.
I feel like this kind of stuff that's passed down from generation to generation to generation. It's like mm-hmm. they don't even know why they're fighting anymore. They just know that they're supposed to.
Yeah, but look, I mean, the reality is that many of them, thanks to groups like Hamas, who are oppressing everybody. And taking all the money that's supposed to go for civil things, you know, they take all the money and stuff and arm themselves. And so, you know, what happens is Palestinian kids are growing up in that kind of oppressed environment, and they're taught to hate the Israelis, to believe that they're responsible for all their problems. And you can imagine when a kid grows up like that, they're going to be full of hatred, you know. And, I mean, I've seen some videos on YouTube, like you would not believe, of how they train their kids from the age of 9 o'clock to carry guns and to hate, you know.
It happens all over the world. I mean, there's like...
But nothing like there, you know. I mean, that is pretty...
Well, in Africa, I mean, there's certain oppressions where they basically, they confiscate the kids and they make mm-hmm. them shoot their parents.
Right.
And yeah. they, I mean, they're all children running around with guns.
Yeah, there are all kinds of you know, crazy shit out there, but this is pretty serious, you know, because you have, I mean, they're killing just about anybody, you know, and they're really in the way of the peace process, Hamas. So, yeah, read up a little bit.
Yeah.
But anyway, to better, to happier topics here, you mentioned Kathy Griffin. You know that I never really heard her on stage? So let's listen to something here.
Yeah, she's a storyteller.
She talks about religion, so let's check this out.
I went and did stand-up on the Rosie O'Donnell Lesbians and Their Children cruise. You know how she does those cruises? Our family, a backwards R, yes, it's a ship full of gay acceptance. So I went and did, and it was really fun to do stand-up on the cruise, and like I said, I love her and stuff. Although, I will say this, and lesbians, I know you're going to turn on me, but no one is more self-righteous about those goddamn kids than the lesbians. You know I'm right. You know I'm right. You know why? All their kids are gifted. Right? How come everyone's kids are gifted now? I wasn't gifted. I'm not gifted yet. But now everyone's kids are gifted. Right? This is our daughter, Hannah. She's 2 days old. She's gifted. She's 2 days old. Oh, she's been tested. She's in the gifted program. Really? She just took a shit in her diaper. There's your gift. You know what's worse is, you know, I hate kids. Isn't it terrible? I do. I openly hate kids. What? People always boo me for that. No, here's why. Here's why. Because, and you know I'm right about this, parents, children are selfish. Am I right? Babies are the worst. Babies are me, me, me. Now, let me tell you something. The day a six-month-old asks me how my day is going, then I'll change my tune. So I'm going to do stand-up on the Rosie Our Family cruise, and the Bravo people call, and they said, well, we'd like to film you doing stand-up on the cruise. We think it's funny. You hate kids, blah, blah, blah. I said, okay, great. So they go, I was like, I get it. So they go, well, we have a proviso. And I said, what? They go, we kind of only want to film it if your parents go. Oh, yeah, I know my place in this world. I'm the sidekick on my own show. And by the way, how f***ing funny are my parents on that show? To tease my mom. I just love to get her goat, you know, because my mom and I are opposite. She's very, very Catholic, and I am what you would call a fallen Catholic. Yes, I'm not alone. I fell so far, I woke up in Beijing, but that's me. No, the worst is I really piss her off when I call the Catholics a bunch of kid f***ers. I know, is that terrible? She gets so mad, too. I go, Mom, what are you following those kid f***s for? No, wait. Here's her defense. Not all of them. I said, that's it, Ma? That's the best you got? And she goes, oh, Kathleen, some of those priests hardly even touch those kids. All right, so... So the Bravo people want me to call my mom and dad to try to get them to come to the crew on the cruise. And I said, well, you know, they're not as mobile as they used to be. I'm not sure if they can, but I'll try. So I call my mom, and I have a theory. And Catholics, you know I'm right about this. No one swears or uses the Lord's name in vain more than Catholics. Right? It's that commandment we don't really take that very easily. You know, we try not to kill, but the swearing, not so much. All right, so I call my mom, and she goes like this. What? We're not going on any goddamn cruise for Christ's sake. God damn it. Son of a bitch. Jesus H. Christ, hang on. God damn it. Johnny, Kathleen's on the phone. She says we gotta go on some kind of a goddamn cruise for Christ's sake. God damn it, son of a bitch. Peter and Paul and the other apostles. What the Christ is wrong with you? Mary Magdalene and the saints. Son of a bitch. Well, what the hell kind of a cruise is it? Lesbians and their children. How the Christ do lesbians have children? Kathleen's on the phone. She says lesbians can have children now. Well, I don't know either. It makes no kind of sense. Last time I checked, you gotta have a guy involved somewhere. For Christ's sake, God damn it. Son of a bitch. Well, where the hell we gotta go? Alaska? What the Christ did the goddamn lesbians bringing those poor kids to Alaska to freeze their asses off?
She's pretty funny, huh?
She's really funny.
Wow.
Do you know, I mean, I think her stand-up's funny, but I think her TV show on Bravo is funnier.
Oh, really?
Well, she's just, I've met her a couple times. I mean, she doesn't know me or anything, but I've met her. I've waited tables on her.
Uh-huh.
And we've chatted a couple times, and so we go way back. Let me just tell you.
Oh, yeah, and Kathy.
But she's just one of the nicest people, and I think she's very, very humble. Everything was, you know, you get to see people when you wait tables, like how they're gonna act and be, if they're going to be like demanding, high maintenance, or if they're going to be just a normal human. And she was very like, thank you very much, and very sweet, very approachable.
Right.
And we chatted a little bit, and but she's on her show, it's just her, and she takes herself not serious at all, and is spoofing the idea that she's trying to rise to fame. And the show's called My Life on the D List.
Yeah.
And
is it like a sitcom or something?
It's a reality-based show about her life.
Reality,
so it shows some of her stand-up. But she's just so human, and she's so funny, and she's very, very, very sweet. And I don't know, you just like people sometimes because they just are so...
She is likable, you know?
Yeah. I think that her show is very funny. My Life on the D-List.
When are they going to give her own talk show at one time?
I don't know. I don't know. I know that, I mean, Bravo, I think she's doing really good with the Bravo show.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it did really well. They're probably bringing it back, you know, shows have their seasons or whatever.
Right.
But she's cool. She's really cool, funny, down to earth. Love her.
Yeah.
Love her.
Love her.
Yeah, but you thought her stand-up was funny?
Yeah, I thought it was pretty funny stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. I like how she makes fun of celebrities.
I'm going to listen to more of her stuff, yeah.
I like how she makes fun of celebrities.
Yeah.
Somebody's got to do it.
Yeah.
And it's just, she doesn't leave anybody out, so it's funny.
Yeah,
but
she
is really, I mean, her part of her MO is she pushes the boundaries so much that she's been banned from many shows.
Oh, really?
Which is kind of weird because, you know, I know that there's some vulgar comedians out there, and Kathy Griffin can be vulgar, but I think she's also smart.
Right.
And, but they hire her to do, you know, host an event or something. And she was on The View, and she got banned from The View. Then she was...
Oh, really?
Yes. She pissed off...
She was using some language?
I think she pissed off Barbara Walters. I can't remember.
Mm.
And then she got... The ban was lifted, and she was asked to come back. And then she got rebanned.
Really?
She's like, I'm the only person that's been banned and then rebanned.
She doesn't belong on morning TV, then.
No, I mean, she's
blue, right? I mean,
she's got, I mean, I'm not a big fan of that part of it. I don't think that stuff is necessary, especially if you're talented. It's like, you don't need to do, you know, dick jokes and things like that, or like, you know, what's the point? I mean, she's really
What's
funny.
The point? Because it's funny.
Well, I think that sometimes.
There's a lot of funny stuff on
actually,
dick,
that's
dick
true.
Jokes.
That's
yeah.
true. But I mean, I'm not commenting on her stand-up because she's doing great, and I think. For me, I can look past some of that stuff because it is funny, you know.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's gratuitous with a lot of people, but with her, it's like whatever.
Yeah. You don't have to analyze everything, you know. I mean, it's comedy for crying out loud.
I'm just telling you what I like. I do comedy. I have a palate for it.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not saying I'm, you know, a connoisseur, but you know.
Do you ever do sexual jokes at all?
Not so much. I do stuff on how my stand-up has changed a little bit, but I did jokes about how all the pop singers. They don't really sing, they breathe.
Mm.
And so it's like an orgasm.
Yeah.
You know, and I do certain singers, and it's all just so breathe. Ah! And I'm singing it like a pop singer, and it's like orgasmic.
Yeah.
Because it's true. You know, I mean, that's. But it's. So it's kind of like sexual, but it's playful. It's not like, you know. I don't know. I've had friends. I mean, everybody laughs their ass off, and it's funny. But my friends say it's like faux sexy.
Yeah.
It's like spoofing sexuality more so.
Right.
But if you're a guy, you probably would think it's sexy anyway, because guys are dumb.
Yeah, guys are very.
They're not
dumb.
Gonna get that it's like, oh, I'm making fun of it, but they're gonna be like, oh wow.
Yeah.
Because I'll dance like Britney and stuff and just overdo it. And that's about as I don't know, about as dirty. I did a thing on. I know it's so cliche to do.
Yeah. Now it's okay for women to say men are dumb. Now, if a man says that about women,
then they do. So what's the point?
No, they don't.
What society do you live in? I was insulted last night by a guy.
Really? What happened?
If I may divulge. Okay, so.
Where were you last night?
I wasn't out anywhere, but here's the thing. I don't like telling you guys all my personal stuff, but I'll tell you anyway. So there's this. Okay, so it's 2010. About a year ago, I signed up for online dating. And I don't do it, but from time to time, they send me like a free, hey, try it out for free.
Right.
So if they do that and I actually have the time to do it, I'll like, okay, I'll do it for like 3 days or whatever.
Right.
And people can instant message you, right?
Right.
And anyway, so I accept you don't know what they look like.
So, why? No pictures?
Well, if there's an incoming message, like an instant message chatting, right. Their picture doesn't pop up until you accept.
I see.
And
okay.
I mean, honestly, I don't have the attention span to do this stuff.
Yeah.
I really don't. I do it for 5 minutes, and I'm like, there's a reason why I'm not doing online dating, because it takes work, you know.
Yeah.
So I'll do this. This sounds mean, but I'll push yes right away if I see their picture and I'm not attracted. Then I just click out of the box, meaning like delete. Like I didn't like almost like, oh, that didn't happen. Maybe I had a mistake with my computer.
Yeah.
But here's the deal. One guy got pissed and wrote me and he was like, that's so bad to just click on people, like accept people's instant message and then click out just because you don't like the way they look.
Right.
And I'm saying this, we're all on here for the same reason. Okay.
Right.
Pretty much. And you know, you've got to have thick skin. You've got to be able to go, I know what I want. I know, what I'm looking for, and
right.
I know myself.
I mean, that's what online dating is for,
like,
is to find someone specific.
Don't get on there and get your feelings hurt. It's
right.
My thing. So then last night, this instant message came in. I was just about to go to bed. I was like, oh, I'll accept it. Well, I stopped clicking out as soon as I see a picture I'm not attracted to. But I know an age range I'm not interested in, and I know if they're too far away, I'm not interested either.
Right.
And pretty much, you know, this has not been a successful process for me. It's more just entertainment at this point. But
it's because you only stay there for 3 days.
Yeah, I know, but I'm not that focused on it. You really, when there's a time, you'll put the work in. I just kind of peek. If they send me a free thing, I'm like, okay, I'll peek.
Yeah.
So.
But what about you taking the time to go through profiles and finding someone you
like? I really don't do that.
Yeah.
Because it's not
you
like.
See, that's the thing. So when you wait for someone to hit on you or to contact you.
Well, you gotta understand, I'm not really going with a mission to like find a man. It's just
right.
They're presenting it to me. I'm like, okay, sure, I'll look. And unfortunately for men, but fortunately for women, men, and if you're an attractive woman, you'll get tons of stuff, and you just have to kind of weed through it. So you don't even have time to go looking for.
That's true.
You don't have time to go digging for somebody. You have so much.
That's true. I totally forgot that. It's a totally different experience.
It is,
for
and
a
honestly,
beautiful woman.
And honestly, I have a certain kind of perspective on it that I don't want to be the first one to initiate contact. I want the man to find me, and I want him to approach me, not because I'm old-fashioned and I think women shouldn't be.
You're not old-fashioned. You approach men all the time.
I don't really approach them, but I start conversation.
You do.
I engage in conversation. But here's the thing. I think that I want the man to be the pursuer, and I want to be with like a leader type man. I don't want to be with a passive guy. And women that are strong attract a lot of passive men.
Mm-hmm.
And usually women will like be the ones to be the leader. And it's like, relax, let the guy be a leader. If that's the kind of guy you want to be with, let him lead. So this guy, I accept the instant message. And first of all, he's in Switzerland. That's not going to freaking work. I don't even have time to entertain that. So literally everybody, I'll be like, sorry, too young. I date old men, which isn't necessarily true. But
right.
I just
but
do.
That's what you tell
I
them.
Say that to make it, but I do like older men, but I don't like them like super. But I'm just like, unless you're rocking a wheelchair and diapers, I'm not interested. I make a joke out of it, so it's not that. And also, I'll write, you're too far away. I don't do long distance. Thanks anyway. Bye. And I'll get out of it.
Right.
Well, this guy happened to be a little person, like a short person.
Oh,
like,
really?
Like a little person is what you call
A midget.
Okay, but that's supposedly not the word, right?
A dwarf.
Yeah, a little person. So, but he lives in Switzerland. I was like, sorry, you're too far away. I don't do long distance. Thanks anyway. He goes, it's because I'm short. And I was like.
Does he do this with every woman?
Oh,
then?
I'm sure he was pissed.
God.
He was firing. And I said, look, no offense. And I took time to explain my method because I didn't want him to think it's just because he was short. I said, look, I do this with everybody. I have a specific person I'm looking for or I'm open to. And long distance and a certain age range. will automatically filter out. I do this with everybody. And he didn't believe me. He's like, you're just a stuck-up girl that, you know, you guys are shallow and, you know, you have men coming to you all the time and you get to be with a tall man. Everybody wants to be with a tall guy. I'm like, are you freaking kidding me right now?
Mm-hmm.
Don't get on an internet dating thing or anything and put yourself out there and then bitch the
and
whole time.
And then antagonize people.
It's like, you know, there's something to be said about owning where you are. Yeah. Own where you are and don't use a sympathy card. You want a date out of sympathy? You want a girl to be like, oh, okay, I'm gonna look, okay.
Well, no, I mean, obviously, this is not someone who really likes women very much.
He's been hurt. He's like,
he's angry.
He's like, women.
Well, everybody's been hurt, you know.
He's like, women like you hurt me. And I said, look, I don't have time to babysit. You know, peace, basically. I tried to be nice to the guy and was like, look, if this is my method, that this is the way I do it. And I've just been really shocked at the amount of insecure people that that put themselves out there. If you can't handle rejection, then you shouldn't be putting yourself out there then.
Yeah.
Or get, you know, like...
Yeah, you got to learn how to take rejection when you're a man, you know?
I mean, and listen, I'm attractive girl, but am I every man's type? No.
Mm-hmm.
Am I going to cry at night and be mad that I'm not every man's type? No.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just the reality. Some guys like them brunette, they like them super skinny, or they like them like super tall. I mean, I'm not any of those things, so you know, or they like really demure girls that are really wholesome, and I'm like somewhere in the middle and really loud. I mean, I'm not gonna be bitter about it.
Yeah.
I just said, look, you know, God bless you. If you believe in God, which he does, because it's like a Christian dating thing, I'm like, you know, God's got the right person for you. Just put your faith in him and do the steps and just roll with it.
Yeah.
You know, roll with it.
So you're not Christian dating thing.
Mm-hmm. I know, it's even funnier. Huh?
I find that to be funny.
Really? But you did J-Date.
I did.
That's how you met your wife.
Yeah, but it wasn't based on religion, you know.
Jewish?
I mean, no, I wasn't looking for someone Jewish. I was looking more for an Israeli. So I figured that's where I would find them.
Because,
you know, since I came here almost 35 years ago, I had never dated an Israeli woman before. So I figured, you know, let me try.
Was it totally different? Did it make a huge difference that you were looking for?
Yeah.
In what ways?
Yeah. It's different, you know. I mean, and she's the same age as me. So we grew up sharing the same experiences.
Yeah,
you know?
Same
so
interests.
Yeah, so it's really different. You know, I mean, if you talk about music or food or something that happened during your childhood, we can share that.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Prior to meeting your wife and you were dating, what were you experiencing as far as like American women, Americanized women,
yeah,
or whatever?
I mean, I married one too. You know, I married an American woman too.
Oh, okay.
The first time.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, I've always enjoyed it. That's why I always preferred it. You know, I mean, to me, it was really important to integrate into the society.
Uh-huh.
I came here when I was 16. You know, you want to be accepted. You want to be like everybody else.
Yeah.
And so that's what I did. And I pretty much have grown to enjoy American women. I think they're very cool. We've got a phone call. Let's see who that is. Good morning. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Hello. My name is Alison McDermott. I'm a nurse. I'm in California. I'm hoping to speak to Sam and Cara. Are we live on air already?
Live,
yes,
girl.
We're on the air. Go ahead.
Okay. I'm calling on behalf of the Fireburn Doctor team, who are a body of people spearheaded by Dr. Joseph Watson, MD, who are achieving extraordinary results on people's fireburns. Burns first, second, third degree. Since last year, around about November, I was on the Coast to Coast show, and I gave details of how people could use the Fireburn Doctor team for free in the event that they suffer any kind of burn, thermal accident, that they would call in their name, their date of birth, their place of birth to the Fireburn Doctor team on their telephone number, which is an 818-332-6.
Okay. I humored her. I humored her for
no,
a while.
No, I'm with you. I'm like, are you calling the... Is any of this relevant to the show? I'm like, what now? We're okay. If you want to be a guest on the show, just submit it.
Yeah.
Just submit it.
There you go. But it's not that she wanted to be a guest on the show. She just wanted to call in and spam us with information. But I thought I'd humor her and see where she's going
to
take it.
I feel like you're really gracious to callers.
Well, you know, you try to be. You know, I mean, people take the time to listen. And you know,
and she's a great accent.
These things
happen. She got far with that accent.
Yeah, she did.
Hello,
huh?
I'm calling with Dr. So-and-so, and we've got, like, this really nice institution where we're like, we heal all your problems, okay? And you can go for $19.95 a month of 3 installation payments. See, I was listening.
Yeah, you were listening.
I was interested. I was like, oh, okay. But then I was like, oh, she's saying nothing.
Yeah.
She's clogging the pipes, as we like to say. Yeah. So,
I love this. I love live radio, let me tell you, man.
So my roommate Sarah, one night, we got into an argument because that's just what we do. And she was like, she made a really negative comment about me being that I've done internet dating, which is not something I do like a lot, but it's something I've done like twice.
Right.
And I'm thinking, it's 2010. It's 2010. Is internet dating still have a crazy stigma? I mean,
no,
I've met so many people. I've met so many people that have done it and have gotten married off of it.
Yeah, like me.
Yeah. She said, I'm not trolling on the internet looking for guys. I'm like, what the hell does that mean? Like, I take them out in a bush and do them or something, and I, you know, walk away or, like, slit the wrist. Or, I mean, you know, it was just weird. I was like, it's 2010.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, get with the program.
So there's still, as far as she's concerned, there's a stigma to it?
Well, I feel like it was a self-righteous statement. Like, I don't, I'm not like that. I don't like that.
Yeah.
It's funny, but we got a little. I told her how I felt, but I just thought it was funny because we're talking about internet dating.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You see, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I mean,
it's just another.
That
it's
pretty
just
an, early in
it's
life.
It's another. You know? It's another venue, another way to meet people. It does take work, just like if you were to like go out and meet people. I feel like right now I have a lot going on that I'm not really. I don't have the time to invest in. You know, filtering and this, that, and the other. So from time to time, like, you know, I think like once every 3 or 4 months they send me this special.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, okay, yeah, sure.
Yeah, cool, I'll try that.
Or they send it to me more frequently, but I only do it about 3 or 4 months. And
yeah. You see, I like it because it allows you to find the people that you want, you know.
There's some advantages, absolutely.
Definitely, you know, and you don't have to go through, I mean, because it takes time to start dating people and stuff that you don't know.
Or randomly, just random meeting people.
Yeah, you know, it takes a long time, you know, to get fixed up or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But here it's, you know, you get to actually go through people, find out about them, and, you know, and pick someone that's close to you, you know, that's close to how you think, how you view life. And
like, come on, I live in L.A. The chances of me, I mean, it could happen, but the chances of me randomly running into this awesome man who's totally sexy and hot and loves Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
it's going to be very difficult.
Very slim.
Yeah.
Very slim. Even at church, I'm not like, it's not going down.
No, huh? Not even in church?
No, I mean, church is, I've got a lot of issues with church.
Really?
Ugh, I've got issues. I love the concept, and I love, if you look at what the Bible says church is, the church is actually the physical believers. It's the hands and feet of Jesus. It's once you accept Christ, and you guys need to fellowship together and be together. And it's like kind of like, you know, the Jewish community really taking care of one another. And got a little demonstrative.
Yeah, relax.
But my point is, it's the people. The people are the church. So it's not necessarily the institution or the building. But the institution and the building can be very advantageous for everybody getting together and learning more about God and the Bible and fellowshipping and meeting people and helping one another, right?
Right.
But I also find that sometimes there's just social psychologies of mass peoples together where people can just become overwhelmed with the amount of people there. They don't know how to connect. They don't know how to get real or outside of themselves and actually connect. And so you get a lot of people that go and they're like, oh, it was a good message. But I feel anonymous. I feel like it doesn't even matter if I was there.
Yeah.
And so I guess what I'm saying is, you know, there's parts of church that are great, and there's other parts that you have to kind of work through. And if you're really trying to meet people, people are just really separate and fragmented.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I prefer smaller churches.
Yeah.
And I
feels closer, like family.
Yeah. And I prefer it like home church, which is you meet once a week or whatever, and you guys have your Bible study, and it's an intimate setting, like. You know, 10 people or so. and you just get to know everybody. It's just a group of friends. And I've had times in my life where I've had great Bible studies that have lasted a couple of years, and mm-hmm. you just become like family,
right.
and everybody brings food, and it's just so...
Yeah, it's not a bad thing, I think. It's pretty wholesome.
Oh,
stuff.
It's so beautiful. Yeah. But, you know, I think a lot of people are looking for those experiences going to church, and they don't find it, and they're discouraged. But I just say keep going and putting yourself out there, because... you know, that it takes a few people to be the first person to put yourself out there,
right.
to get other people to kind of jump on board.
Right.
So as far as meeting guys there, I don't know. I think the church culture It hasn't been. It's not for me.
No, huh?
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
Like, I want to be with a real believer who really, really loves God.
Right.
And loves
so that
Jesus.
Christian site is pretty good. You should stick around on it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we'll see.
Yeah.
I think it expires today or tomorrow.
Okay.
So
well,
get your messages
in. I'll sponsor it for you.
No.
Yeah, I want you to find someone.
No,
happy
I'm happy.
With.
I am happy.
I know you're happy. But
I sponsor my shoes and my marathon so I can do that. That's
okay.
what I want.
Well, that doesn't work like that.
Yeah.
Now, how, you know, I mean, this is like really freaky, and it's not out of a science fiction magazine.
What?
But apparently this huge fireball was spotted in Wisconsin or in the Midwest, and it hung up in the sky for 15 minutes.
I saw that.
Yeah. The National Weather Service got reports of a sonic boom, houses and trees shaking. Wow.
Really?
Yeah. That's pretty awesome, I think, to be able to see something like this. I mean, you know, the first thing you think is a UFO.
Yeah, what is it? Do they know what it is?
I don't know. Officials say it could be a meteor shower, but... you know, I'm sure there's always explanations to this kind of stuff.
Yeah, they're saying meteorologists are saying it's probably a meteor shower, but wouldn't it have come from, like, far up in the sky and then, you know, then fall down?
I don't know. It depends. I don't know how it would look if it actually happened,
Mm-mm.
you know?
It's crazy.
Yeah.
That'd be cool to see it.
I know. Actually, they have a video of it. Wow.
Are you seeing the video?
Yeah, you got to go to CNN and check this out. I mean, this thing is just like flying through the sky. Oh, so it wasn't like hovering there. I thought it was hovering.
Oh, so it is showering.
Yeah, it kind of moves, yeah. Wow. Wait. Yeah, it's just moving, man. But it's huge.
Really?
Wow. That's pretty cool stuff, yeah. Everybody, you got to go see that. I'm sure they'll have it on YouTube, too. But go to CNN. It's the top story right now.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
But it never fell? It never fell down?
No. They said it broke up or something into little pieces.
Are we going to find Transformers later?
Probably.
Those little things turn into like cars that then can turn into big robots?
There you go. Yeah.
Wow. That's so cool.
I know.
Oh, man. Huge fireball.
Yeah.
Sounds like a good party.
So I've got some facts here that you might find interesting.
Okay, let's talk.
And I don't know, I kind of lost it now.
I see the
yeah.
I see the file today and the Statue of Liberty people.
Yeah.
That's funny, Sam.
Oh, you see that?
I think you should do it one year.
Yeah.
Oh man.
You're out of your mind.
Oh man.
I'm not doing this.
I think it's funny.
Here, let's read something about jobs. Okay, some information.
Please, let's do it.
Interesting facts. The two most dangerous jobs in the United States, commercial fishing and logging.
Commercial fishing and logging?
Right. Those are the most dangerous.
Why?
Yeah, you go tell that to the miners that died the other day. But I don't know why. That's what they say.
Interesting.
The average computer worker types 90,000 keystrokes in an 8-hour shift.
Sounds like work, man.
That's a lot. That was probably written before we had mice, right?
You're a dork.
Before we had the mouse.
You're funny.
Why?
Oh, you mean the mouse? What do you mean?
Like the mouse for the computer.
That's not anything to do with keystrokes.
Well, that's what I'm saying. If this must have been written before we were using the mouse, because right now we don't use a lot of keystrokes when we use the computers. We have GUIs now, graphical user interfaces, which is what Windows and the Mac are.
Oh,
see, now
look at you. You're all high tech.
Oh, yeah. I've been into computers like crazy for years.
You kind of got that nerd vibe, but not much.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I never got into them in a nerdy way, though, but I understand how they work.
You know, it's interesting. I don't know. I think that's cool, though.
Yeah.
So why Americans are overweight and how the rest of the world is thin?
I don't know. Why?
Okay, it's saying fast food, which we already knew that. Okay, home cooked food. What? Why cook when processed foods are easy to nuke and serve? So processed foods. Size matters, so the heaping portions of spaghetti, the giant meatballs, you know, just the size of everything. No carbs, no fat, no flavors. No somehow meant good for you, i.e. no fat, no carb diet crazes that led to lots of overeating and little satisfaction. That makes a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm.
Like the super restriction.
Yeah.
Drive to the gym. We were either sitting or spinning. So they're just talking about, like, it's kind of just the lifestyle that we have here.
Mm-hmm.
Even going to the gym, people drive to the gym. Like, if people were just getting their regular amount of walking and kind of if everything was more moderate and you're eating real food and not fast food.
Right.
And the serving sizes were just
And it depends. Average. You know, you go to places where people walk a lot, like, you know, in New York or something, you don't see a lot of fat people.
Yeah.
You know, when you walk a lot, you don't gain weight. You know?
Well, it just kind of makes sense. It's like our bodies are made to walk. And they said the world, that was America. Now, the world, it says small portion, big flavor. So small portions of favorite full-flavored foods.
Mm-hmm.
So they're eating kind of richer foods, but they're smaller amount.
Right.
The lifestyle exercise. So walk or bike to work, stroll and socialize after dinner, play and adventure outside and on the weekends. They're just talking about all that. All of the continuous movement will basically make up for that.
Yeah, the body really is a machine that if you don't use it, you lose it. You know, you've got to keep it going.
I know, it's interesting, huh?
Yeah.
But they are saying that obesity is becoming more global now.
Yeah.
I think that's...
Well, because the globe is becoming Americanized, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, so a lot of influence.
Yeah. So that's interesting, though. I mean, you know, I kind of heard that. My roommate's from Toronto, and they walk everywhere. And she said since she's been here, she's just said, I get restless. You know, you know, sitting at a desk or sitting down. And I think that, you know, for me, I get a lot of exercise, but usually it's because I block out chunks of time to do it.
Right.
But if, you know, if maybe every day you walked to work and then you know, everything was more mobile, you wouldn't need to.
But everything's so spread out here.
I know.
You got to drive everywhere, even to the store.
Yeah. I like what Johnny Damn does. I mean, I like that he buses it here from Hollywood and then he walks. I thought about doing that, but right now it's going to take too long.
Yeah, it takes a long time.
It takes too long. Like, it's going to take me to get home. It's going to take me, I think, like maybe 2 hours.
Did he tell you how long his walk is from the train to here?
Well, I would run it. It would be good for me to get there running.
You would run it?
But yeah.
You can't, because by the time you got here, you'd be like totally drained.
No, I wouldn't. No, I wouldn't.
You'd
I mean, I'd be physically,
and,
I'd be gross, but only you have to see me.
Yeah.
You know, sorry, Sam.
Oh, and I don't count.
You know the real me.
With your sweat mustache.
Listen, I can rock a good sweat mustache, you know? So we should have a LA Talk Radio party.
We are planning on it.
Oh, we are? When?
In fact, we're thinking of doing a birthday party for me and inviting
Yeah, you know? Let's do it.
Would that be cool?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, we've had parties and we've had like brunches and stuff here.
Mm.
Like open house type of a thing.
Yeah, can we do something like that? I think that'd be fun.
Yeah, that'd be a lot of fun because you get to meet a lot of people.
Oh man, that'd be fun.
People.
I'll drive my car here. I'll eat all the food.
Yeah, there you go.
I'll sit down and just hang out
cool
and let it all marinate.
And stuff, yeah. Do you like bagels?
Yeah, who doesn't like a bagel?
Yeah, and really fresh and good ones.
Where do you get them?
Western Bagel.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Love them?
That's the best.
Is it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
What's with New Yorkers and bagels and like how... I mean, I've never really dissected a good bagel. You know what I mean? Like, I could see people dissecting...
It's got to be very fresh, you know. It's obviously got to be tasty, but it's got to be fresh, you know.
Mm.
Any kind of bread for me, if it's not fresh, I can't eat it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So even bread that we buy at the store, I freeze it right away... So then it stays okay when you take it out.
Oh, really?
You know, yeah. Old bread, forget about it.
No.
Nah.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
So you're going to make, it's going to be like a bagel party?
No. I mean, this one's not going to be like that, you know. It's going to be like a party. I mean, we're going to.
Your birthday.
Yeah, we'll cater and everything.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Woohoo!
Do you think we should have like Middle Eastern food and stuff?
I'll eat whatever, yeah.
Yeah.
I love all
I think
foods.
It would be interesting for people. They would love it.
Middle Eastern food, like couscous and like
things
falafel
like that,
and shawarma. No, not shawarma. Or shawarma.
Shawarma too, yeah.
Freaking love shawarma.
Yeah.
Yeah, Baba Ghanoush.
Yeah, and there's so many different things also that you may not have heard before.
Like
that are
what?
Really cool. There's a lot of salads that are based on eggplant. You know, do you like eggplant?
Oh, I like eggplant, yeah.
It's like, in my experience, nothing tastes bad with eggplant. You know, eggplant tastes in any form, tastes good in any form that you make it.
Eggplant is good.
Yeah, it's really cool.
I made an eggplant lasagna.
Ah, that sounds good.
You can kind of cut it thinly and use it as the noodles, but who's going to do that shit? So
yeah.
I'd use the noodles. I did the eggplant. I did chicken. I did the cheeses. Mm-hmm. And then just doing that, doing that and layering it.
That sounds good.
Layering it, yeah. And eggplant is good. You can, you know, I think Sarah made a dish yesterday where she used zucchini and eggplant, and I think she used it as like, did it in strips and used it like a pasta.
Right.
Which is really, really
good. Sounds delicious.
And healthy, yeah. So that's cool.
So what is your favorite food? What do you like to eat?
I don't really discriminate against food.
Are you a meat and potato type of person?
I mean, what do you think?
I don't know.
Yeah. actually, I'm going to say one because I don't really think I have just one, but one of my favorite, all-time favorite foods is Mexican food. I like good, dirty, cheesy, really, really gourmet Mexican food. Like, I like it with lots of good flavor and cilantro and just the sauces, like a good enchiladas. Like, in Texas, the Mexican food is amazing. You sit down, you get your margaritas, you get your chips and salsa, and then you get guacamole, and you get queso, like chili con queso or queso, which is hot cheese.
Uh-huh.
So you're dipping these fried chips that are thin and hot in guacamole, pico de gallo, and then hot cheese, and you've got your margarita, and then you guys order all this different stuff, and you share it. You get like fajitas for two, and like the fajitas at Papacito's,
they come,
they're sizzling. I'm like, my mouth is watering. Yeah. And then there's a side of garlic butter sauce that you pour over your fajita, and then you roll it up.
Yeah.
And
anything with garlic is good too.
It's so freaking good and decadent. And then just the chip, like here, I mean, you go to a Mexican food restaurant, it's not horrible, but some of them are bad, and they bring you like tostada chips. They're not even that thin, hot, see-through chip.
Right, right.
That's just drenched in like goodness.
Right.
I mean, that's just a really good throwdown for me.
Yeah.
But it's highly, highly, highly intense.
Yeah.
But I love Mexican food. I really like.
But it's pretty fattening too.
Oh yeah,
right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, all the beans.
I mean, you can eat it. You can do your own. Like when I make a lot of salads, I do them like Mexican, which just the flavors, you know.
Right.
A lot of cilantro and pico de gallo. I'll put black beans in my salad, and you know, the chicken will be hot, and then I'll do it with chipotle type flavors, and then some cheese. So it's kind of more of a, you know, it's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm hungry now.
Yeah, are you hungry? I know, me too. Actually, I my wife heard that I wanted to have a fruit salad on the show, right?
Because
I told you I like fruit in the morning, so she made me some.
What a
sweet
woman.
And I had some
this
morning. Yeah, you see? And so
you
I had some this
man,
morning,
she's good
and it
to
feels
you.
Good. Yeah, it feels good to eat in the morning.
Did it surprise you?
No, not at all. I mean, she always does things for me. It's
no,
amazing.
I mean that she was listening, then you wake up one morning and you get fruit salad?
No, it didn't amaze me because we talked about it.
Oh, you did? Okay.
Yeah.
But that's so sweet that she did that.
Yeah. And it was delicious in the morning, you know?
That's sweet of her.
Yeah. So I'm not as hungry as I usually am, but I'm still getting there, not talking about food.
But your favorite is Mediterranean, so get it catered?
Not necessarily my favorite. I mean, I love Italian food. You know, I like Japanese, Chinese food I like, you know? So there's different kinds, but I was just thinking it might be unusual and different, you know?
Yeah, I love Mediterranean. I love
it. And introduce people that have never tried it to it, you know?
Yeah, that sounds really good. I also love, I like trying new food. I love Italian, too.
Mm-hmm.
Who doesn't love Italian?
Yeah.
It's good. Do you like Italian?
I love Italian.
It's really, really good. And I love, I do like sushi a lot, too. But I'm not one of these, I think sushi's so chic, you know? But it's like, I don't have to be, you know, some people are like, I love sushi.
I know. It's totally a California thing.
Sushi, because I'm such a light eater, and I just love feeling light, and it's so refreshing, and I have my sake.
Yeah. You see, I only tasted a little bit. I'm not so into it, but it looks delicious when they serve it.
It's actually really good.
Yeah?
Sushi is really good. And you don't really feel like a fat cow after you've eaten it.
Right.
Even if you've eaten a lot, you're like, can't we just have a lot of sushi? But you know, yeah, sushi, right?
So it's not filling, right?
It's it can be, but you have to pile it in there.
Yeah.
And then the thing with it is that even if you get a little full, you'll be hungry like a couple hours later because it's just light.
Right.
Unless you get like the deep fried
Yeah, no carbs and, you know.
Well, no, there's carbs in the rice, but it's worth it.
Yeah, but in the rice, you know, but generally there's not enough carbs to make you all full and bloated.
Yeah, it's not like, but in Texas, I mean, they can eat. I mean, the comfort food there is ridiculous.
Really?
Chicken fried steak with mashed potatoes, and then they put gravy over the whole thing.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it's fried chicken. You know, that's chicken fried. Oh, no, it's steak that's been chicken fried. Like, it's steak that's fried.
Uh-huh.
With mashed potatoes, and then they put gravy over the whole meal.
Uh-huh.
And it's good.
That's 2,000 calories right there.
Oh, it's way more. That's way more. They just do, like, I went to one place that it's called Froberg's Vegetable. It's Froberg's Farmer's Market, middle of nowhere in Texas. It's called Froberg's.
Mm.
We went to Froberg's, and we started off, we got ourselves fried pie. Fried pie.
Wow.
It's like a pocket, almost like a, it's like this deep fried blueberry. It was like a blueberry and buttermilk pie that they deep fried, and then they had a chocolate and cream one, and you eat it and it's hot, and it's like you can just feel the cellulite, and it just cellulite's just dripping in
just
your
dripping,
mouth.
Just dripping, huh?
So good, Sam. Oh, gotta get my eat on.
I know. It sounds like, you know, I mean, a steak sounds good, actually. Maybe we'll take it's not Friday today. Today's Thursday. Tomorrow night maybe we'll go out for steak or something. Who knows?
There you go.
Yeah. Man, I'm ready for another vacation. Let me tell you. Yeah.
When was your last vacation?
We'll see. Maybe we'll take one in June, and I'll go to Israel for a couple weeks.
When is your daughter going?
In June.
Oh, she's going in June.
Yeah, so I figured maybe I'll go there.
Just to clarify, because friends were asking me about the birthright, who funds the birthright?
Israel.
The government.
Right.
Okay, and that's for every, for anybody.
Yeah, anybody Jewish that wants to go visit, and they have to be... I think you have to be 18 or, like, within a certain age range that you can go.
And it's to get you to kind of, like...
Yeah, kind of get into it, want to immigrate there, you know, maybe go to the army, you know, and people love that. I mean, the army there is a totally unique experience there, you know, it's sort of like a rite of passage.
Did you do the army?
No, I didn't, because I came here when I was 16.
Okay.
And you go when you're 18.
Okay.
So I never went. But it's kind of a, you know, part of my life that I think I missed out on.
Because
people make friends for life there.
Oh, they do.
Yeah.
And it's mandatory if you live there, right?
Yes.
Okay.
It is mandatory. All right, Kara, another day, another dollar. And anything special you're doing today?
I have to go hit up all the free places where there's free tax.
That's true. You do have to do that.
I got to get my priorities straight. Yeah. And then I'm going to figure out taxes. And then I have... actually, I'm going to the Los Angeles Comedy Festival. Sarah's short film's in it. A lot of celebrities are going to be there. And tonight they have the opening party. So I'm excited about that. I'll be doing that later on tonight.
Nice.
Yep.
All right, everyone. Thank you for joining us. We'll be back here tomorrow.
You have been listening to Sam and Kara in the Morning, which airs every weekday from 9 a.m. until 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, originating from the Los Angeles Talk Radio studios. If you have questions about the show or would like to inquire about sponsorship opportunities, please direct all correspondence to info@latalkradio.com. Sam and Kara in the Morning is a production of LA Talk Radio. We say what we want.